I'm back. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video with analyst, geopolitical analyst, Peter Zeihan, basically saying China has 10 years left. Before we get into that, see what he's talking about, let's give you a word from Dizzle.
Everybody talking about Dizzle new drink, they like
you can Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave, tequila, French cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Just throw your Dizzle on ice and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle Premium Luxury Liqueur, go to DizzleBrand.com. Click on our locations. Click on one of the top three website links. You must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. Also, there's actual store locations below that. If you're located in California, Oklahoma, Kansas, or Arkansas, Little Rock, here we come. And shout out to Little Rock, Obama. Out there getting it in for the Dizzle brand. Don't forget the Dizzle brand merch. Go to DizzleBrand.com, go to merchandise store, or go to Etsy.com/shop/Dizzle brand. It's Etsy.com/shop/Dizzle brand. And I don't have the Dizzle brand merch on today, but I got my favorite t-shirt on. So we'll keep it rolling. Oh, it's my favorite color t-shirt, that's for sure. All right, let's get into it. I think this is the Joe Rogan podcast, Peter Zeihan. And let's hear what they got to say.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
The rich world was a population column from 1945 to 1992. And with the end of the Cold War, the developing world became a column in 1992 until now. The problem is that this is all temporary, because birth rate keeps dropping, people keep living older, and your column eventually inverts into an open pyramid, upside down. And now you no longer have children, you no longer have a replacement generation at all. And there aren't enough people in their 20s and 30s to buy everything. And there aren't enough people in their 40s and 50s to pay for the retirees. So this decade was always going to be the decade that most of the advanced world moves into mass retirement and the economic model collapses. And next decade was always going to be the decade that that happened to the developing world. And we find out recently that the Chinese have jumped the ship, and this is their last decade too. So all of the globalized connections and consumptions that create the world we know, we are at the end of it. And we have to go back to a world where trade is more focused on the countries that have a better demographic and security infrastructure, because the Americans are no longer patrolling the global oceans anymore. So we're losing the security ramifications of an open system. At the same time, we're losing the demographic capacity to support it in the first place. And that's all going down right now.
So when you're saying that China has 10 years to go. What do you mean by that?
Well, we now know that they've lied about their population statistics. And they overcounted their population by over 100 million people, all of whom would have been born since the one-child policy was adopted. So this is one of those places where they've got more people in their 60s and their 50s and their 40s and their 30s and their 20s.
Now, what was the logic behind the one child? Was it that they were overpopulating?
Mao was concerned that as the country was modernizing, the birth rate wasn't dropping fast enough, and that the young generation was literally going to eat the country alive. So they went through a breakneck urbanization program, which destroyed the birth rate. At the same time, they penalized anyone who wanted to have kids. And both of those at the same time have generated the demographic collapse we're in now.
You know what? And I remember when that happened, man. And I kind of was like, I kind of agreed with it, thought it was smart. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I guess I was basing off of American culture standards. Like, we have too many people, too many kids having kids in America, too many people having kids that can't take care of them. And the government basically has to take care of them and whatnot. So I guess I was basing off of that, and I don't know how that is in China, but it seems like it might not have been a good thing. Let's keep it moving.
And the problem with that also was that they wanted male children.
Yeah, there's a cultural aspect to that too. And obviously men can't have kids on their own.
And what is the like ratio to men to women in the younger people in China now?
Before the data revision with the last set of lies, it was about 1 to 1.2. It was the most distorted in the world, even more than Sri Lanka, where there had been a civil war for 30 years. Since then, we don't have good sex-by-sex data, but it's undoubtedly worse.
And so what are the other problems that they're encountering that leads you to believe that they only have 10 years left?
Well, without young people, we've seen their labor costs increase by a factor of 14 since the year 2000. So Mexican labor is now one-third the cost of Chinese labor. Their educational system focuses on memorization over skills. So despite $1 trillion of investment and a bottomless supply of intellectual property theft, they really haven't advanced technologically in the last 15 years. Mexican labor is probably about twice as skilled as Chinese labor now, even though it's one-third the cost. They've consolidated.
So he's saying that Mexican workers are typically more advanced or got more common knowledge to what's going on in the labor force, and they cost a third of the price. And like businessmen being businessmen, or business being greedy overall about profit margins, what do you think they were going to do?
Related into an ethnic-based, paranoid, nationalistic cult of personality. And it's very difficult for the Xi administration to even run it because it's not an administration anymore. No one wants to bring Xi information on anything. So like Putin lied to his face.
They're scared shitless.
Last February about the war, saying, you know, why would I invade Ukraine? And you can see in some of the presses, the defense guys in the back of the room, like, they didn't want to say anything because Xi has a history of shooting people he doesn't like. And so the Chinese were the only country that was caught with their pants down when this all went down.
And you know what? If I knew I could possibly get shot just for relaying a message, you know, what's the saying? Don't shoot the messenger. When somebody doesn't abide by the don't shoot the messenger saying, why the hell would I talk to them at all? I wouldn't even want to speak to him. Let's keep it moving.
The Biden administration is basically taking the trade policy of Donald Trump and running it through a grammar checker and putting it into institutions. So we now have tech barricades that prevent the Chinese from buying the equipment, the tools, or the software that's necessary to make semiconductors. In fact, he went so far as to say any Americans working in the sector have to either quit or give up their American citizenship. Every single one of them either quit or was transferred abroad within 24 hours. So the tech system is stalled. They don't have the young people to go consumption-led. They're completely dependent on the U.S. Navy to access international trade. They are the most vulnerable country in the world right now. And based on how things go with Russia, we're looking at a significant amount of raw materials falling off the map, specifically food and energy. And the Chinese are the world's largest importer of both of those things. So there's no version of this where China comes through looking good. And the challenge for the rest of us is to figure out how do we, in as smooth and quick as a process as possible, figure out how we can get along without them. Because they are going away. And they're going away this decade for certain.
Well, if you say they're going away, clearly they're not just going to lay down. They're going to try to adjust.
Yeah, they'll die.
Right? They're but how so? Do you think this is because, like, what is, other than, well, here would be a big problem, right? Mm-hmm. Taiwan. Like, if we impose the kind of sanctions that we've imposed on Russia, if China decides to invade Taiwan and the world stands up and the world imposes sanctions on China, how does that go?
Very ugly for the Chinese. So, you know, say what you will about the Russian economy. It's corrupt. It's inefficient. It's not very high value add. But it's a massive producer and exporter of food and energy. You put the sanctions that are on the Russians on Beijing, and you get a deindustrialization collapse and a famine that kills 500 million people in under a year. And the Chinese know this. They can only push so hard. You know, you can make the argument that if the Russians succeed, they actually solve or at least address some of their problems. Even if the Chinese were able to capture Taiwan without firing a shot, it doesn't solve anything for them. They're still food importers. They're still dependent on the United States. They're still energy importers. And even if they take every single one of those semiconductor fab facilities intact, they don't know how to operate them because they can't operate their own. And their own are among the worst in the world, not the best.
Whew.
Now, the only reason, in my opinion, to be concerned about a Taiwan war is because Xi has so isolated himself that when one person is making all the decisions and that one person refuses to access information to make the decisions, strange stuff happens.
And when you say refuses to access, what do you mean by that?
He does not have normal information flows anymore. Like even at the height of the Trump administration, when Trump was basically isolated himself from the entire intelligence community, he was still getting the daily briefing. There was still information being put in front of him. But Xi is so isolated himself, he doesn't want to hear anything except for what he wants to hear. And since no one knows what the status of the conversation with the voices in his head in any given day, no one wants to bring him anything unless they're ordered to. How?
And you know what? Anybody that thinks like that is scary. There's no telling what they do. Because, like, you can't convince them either way, it seems like. They're not reasonable at all.
How do we know this about him?
Because there's no one to listen to anymore. That's one of the fun things about Russia versus China right now is that the Russian information security is so poor that American intelligence is literally listening in on everything. But in China, we can hear into the office, but there are no conversations happening.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean? Like, so no one talks to him about anything?
Anything. If you look at
So he's just terrifying to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he murders dissidents. He murders anybody that...
He doesn't murder everyone, but there's a lot of people in prison.
And there's also a lot of billionaires that got disappeared, right?
Yep.
And any dissent.
Yeah. You're either executed or exiled, intimidated into silence. There's a variety of options. And if you look at the third-party Congress that we had late last year, that's when they select the Politburo. Everyone on the Politburo now is a personal flunky. There is no one from a different faction. There is no one that has a history of being competent.
Whew. And what is their plan?
The Chinese?
Yeah. Do we have any idea of what their plan to get out of this is?
Nationalism. If you know that the economic situation is going to go to pot, then you have a couple of options. Option one is you try to cut a deal with a country that can help you out, but the only country that could do that is the United States. And the sort of strategic surrender that the Americans would require is not something that the Chinese would accept. So think about Germany in 1946. That's the scale of support and control that the Americans would insist upon for giving the Chinese a lease on life. But if you go with nationalism, give people a non-economic reason to support the state. So even if you lose your job, even if you can't feed your family, I'm Chinese, I'm Han, that's enough. That has been the strategy for the last couple of years. Will it be enough to preserve the CCP? Too soon to know.
That would never work in America. Not even for patriotic people. It would never just work that just to say, so what, I can't feed myself or my family. I'm American. I'm good to go. That would never work, especially with the far left and the liberals, you know, saying America's the most hateful, racist, evil country on the planet. So there's that. Yeah, this is very interesting. We'll see 10 years down the line if this hadn't, you know, what he said comes to volition and what the effect of it is. Once again, thank you for tuning in, Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out.